Welcome to the old school meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, featuring speakers with long-term abstinence. This meeting was born online, and it's going to stay that way. That means you can attend live on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 Pacific. And now, our speaker.
What I was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. Well, I don't want to disappoint, given that I'm not sure I am like anything that I should be like. My name is Alex. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you, Lindsay, for asking me to be of service tonight. I looked around at this is some meeting. I look around the faces here. I don't want to name anybody since we're being recorded, but there's a lot of people that have been inspirational to me over these years in program. So I'm kind of humbled to be here. It makes me think this past Saturday I led a meeting here in Los Angeles called Light a Candle. And for this time, for a long time, since I've been in OA, that meeting has been, you know, one of the meetings that's like, wow, that's one of the big meetings. And so I was really, I showed up to the meeting to lead. I was sitting in my car and I wasn't really nervous. But then I started getting nervous that I wasn't nervous. So I called my sponsor and said, "Hey man, I'm nervous that I'm not nervous." And he said, "You just really always need something to be worried about, don't you?" And I'm sharing that because I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm a compulsive overeater because I'm scared, and I worry about the future and outcomes since I was a kid, and That's really at the base of what this is for me. I came to Overeaters Anonymous about 7.5 years ago. I have 6 years of abstinence, thank God. When I first came to this program, I came because I figured, you know, I have a problem with food. I had a problem with food my whole life. As I said, I grew up kind of a scared kid. I grew up in an environment, you know, a household that was loving, but it was unpredictable. My father was kind of unpredictable and explosive, but taught me to kind of just be worried about how I was going to come off, how things were going to turn out. And that kind of anxiety, especially for a kid, I guess I needed the comfort that came, you know, at once, as I don't forget the words of the big book, but like the feeling I got at once from turning to sugar or flour, or really the combination of sugar flour. That's the one that sent me to oblivion, sent me to the stratosphere. And I guess when I was a kid, I needed that. I needed to survive that sort of anxious feeling. And but as I grew older, it just became a major problem in my life that I would turn to food so much when I was scared, when I was anxious, which was pretty much all the time. But I figured my problem was food. If I got the right diet, if I got the right exercise program, if I read the right book, if I watched the right video, if I was smarter, if I worked harder, if I wasn't so lazy, if I wasn't so stupid, you know, all of these wonderful, wonderful behaviors that made up for such a great existence. I'll tell you one thing for anybody that struggles, for what it's worth, beating myself up about not being able to control my eating, never helped me control my eating. Like calling myself fat never made me thin, and calling myself stupid never made me smarter. You know, it never worked. All it did was make me more feel worse. And when I feel bad, I want to eat. I guess that's part of it. I just never really learned how to have feelings. I never learned the lesson that it was okay for me to have feelings, you know? Still to this day, I find myself defaulting to the thought that I want to either feel good or I want to feel nothing. And that is a definite example of a lack of faith and a fear of not having control. And I spent most of my life just sort of like dealing with this. And the result of it was that I would put on, you know, 40 pounds and then take off that 40 pounds. And then I'd put it back on, and take it off and over and over and over again, and constantly banging my head, my fist on the bar saying, how did this happen again? You know, until 2016, when I went to Overeaters Anonymous. And again, I said, I went there thinking that I had a problem with food. And it wasn't until I walked into OA and I started listening to all of you and I started reading the literature that I learned that food wasn't my problem, that food was my solution to my problem. That my problem is that I have this spiritual hole inside of me, and I'm really afraid of all of you and what you're going to think of me. And I want to fill that hole with your approval. If I either want to fill this hole with your approval, or I want to do everything I possibly can to avoid your disapproval. And if I can do that, then, hey, you know, I wouldn't have to be sitting here talking to you in a meeting. You know, I would have had the ability to control, to be the master of the universe and control what all of you think of me. But instead, what really happened is that I have spent an inordinate amount of time worried about what you think of me, worried about how things were going to turn out, worried about the future. I've thought about this a lot, and I wondered if maybe there was some point when I was a kid that I started worrying about something really intensely, and then it turned out okay. And as a kid, I thought, oh, that probably worked out because I worried about it, you know? Maybe I got some lesson somehow that worrying was an action, you know? But it's not. It's not an action. It's not a tool. If you look at the tools of OA, you can read all nine of them. Worrying is not one of them. Thinking is not one of them. Those are not part of what the tools of this program are. If you're new and you hear me talking about a lot of stuff that has, and I'm not mentioning food all that much, it's because food is really just the for me, the manifestation, the thing that I use to try to, medicate this fear. And I did it for long times, and I've eaten in some very disturbing ways. And most of it in private. Most people never saw me really do any of my very serious eating, you know. But I've hidden and lied and stolen. I stole a box of donuts from little children once. I mentioned it to say that, you know, food, particularly sugar and flour, was my master. And when I came to this program, I just wanted some kind of quick fix to tell me, how do I stop, you know, how do I stop eating this stuff? How do I stop being so obsessed with this stuff so that I can live a normal life? And, it really didn't have to do with the food. It had to do with me. It had to do with this tendency I have to be inside of my head, what I call the bunker of my head. And when I'm in the bunker, I'm trying to, indulge in the fantasy that I have control. So I can, when I'm in the bunker, I can look back in the past, and I can look at all of these things that, these battles I had. And this time I say all the right stuff and I do all the right things, you know, or I'm in the future where I'm just having, you know, I'm worried about some conflict, and now I find myself just having this imaginary fight out loud with a person, you know, about something that's going to happen in the future. And the point is, I'm in the bunker, and when I'm in that bunker, I'm either in the past, which is about shame and regret, or I'm in the future, which is about fear and anxiety. Ironically, the only place I'm not in when I'm in the bunker is in the present, which is the only place I can actually experience my life. The only place where I can actually affect the things that are true in my life. The only way that I can take actions that will actually make any difference. And you know, in the bunker, I'm not of service. I'm not of use to anybody. I'm not of service to my higher power. I'm not of service to any of you. I am just, at the mercy of my fear. And what the fear has made me do my whole life, one of the terrible byproducts is that it's made me intensely self-centered. Someone I really admire a lot in this program, I heard them say this at a meeting this Sunday, reminded me this meeting this Sunday that, the big book teaches us that self-centeredness is the root of our problem. That's where the real problem is. And, you know, I'm self-centered because I'm so scared. As a kid, I had to learn to really be focused on myself so I didn't screw up. I didn't get anybody angry at me. I didn't make any mistakes. I made it through. And so I kind of had to become just focused on myself. And unfortunately, it just snowballed from there, where my focus is almost entirely on me. You know, I took a candle for 6 years at another meeting, and I spent a bunch of time after that meeting like focused on how few people congratulated me after the meeting for my 6 years. I am still as sick. That's why I said what I was like and what I'm like now. I wish I could say that I was so much different, but I am still struggle on a daily basis with this self-centeredness. So what do I do about that? The program has taught me that, it says it right there in the Serenity Prayer, there are actions that I can take. And if there's an action I can take, then I need to either take that action or I need to pray for the courage to take that action, whatever it may be. But if I can't do anything about it, if I can't change it in any way, all I can do is accept it. There's no other play. There's two plays in this game. I get two cards. One is change and one is acceptance, you know? And if I can change it, I should do that. But if I can't change it, all I'm doing is frustrating myself and, tearing myself up and making me worried and worried and worried over something that I have no control over. That's why I'm in the bunker, because in the bunker, I'm safe to just indulge within this illusion that I have the ability to change these things, that I have some kind of power to control what you think of me or the outcome of anything. And when I'm in that state, I mean, of course I want to eat. Of course I want to jam things in my face that are going to numb me out so I don't feel the intensity of this feeling. That's the other thing that I learned upon coming to Overeaters Anonymous. I learned that I eat because of these feelings that I can't manage. Well, I stopped eating compulsively, and what's left is the feelings. So two things. One, I'm going to have to clean house. I'm going to have to really look at these feelings. And what is this coming from? If it's coming from something that I need to make right in an amends, directly to people or some through actions, whatever it is, I'm going to have to face up to the fact that I have to do that. If it's something that I have not been able to, just not been able to let go, some kind of shameful, secret, I just need to tell someone like I did in my fourth step, so that the feelings that have been devouring me start to become a little less powerful. Like all these monsters under my bed, and when I pull them out and the sunlight hits them, you see that in a lot of cases, they're kind of like these little shriveled up things that are not as scary as I feared, you know? Not all of them. Some of them are still pretty potent, you know, and I still battle with it. But, so that's part of what I learned, is that I'm going to have to actually take the actual stock and trade of what's going on in my past, in my life, and I'm going to have to deal with it. That's the cleaning house part. Anything that I can't do anything about, I'm going to have to find a power greater than myself that I can turn this stuff over to. That was a big struggle for me. I won't go into a lot of detail because it's not a time, but I had a lot of trouble accepting a power greater than myself. But now, I'm so grateful to have this. I'm so grateful to have this power, this higher power to look to and say, it's yours now. This thing I'm worried about, this meeting I'm worried about, this phone call I have to make, this worry about what these people think of me, I'm just turning it over to you. I'm praying that you take it and that I'll just show up and you give the results that need, you handle the results and they'll come in your time and I leave it to you. The rest beyond that is something that I think is maybe not talked enough in OA, is that the rest of that is going to be big sections of time where I'm sitting in discomfort, where I'm going to be uncomfortable. Those are the times when I would normally go to the food, right? But in this program, I was taught all these tools by my sponsor, and I come to these meetings and learn experience from all of you. And most importantly, I have the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 steps. I'm basically trying to,
2 minutes left.
Thank you. I'm basically trying to do what another guy in program I heard say once, is that I'm trying to replace the effect of the food with the effect of the steps. But that means sometimes I'm gonna just have to be sad. I'm going to have to accept the fact that sometimes I'm going to be angry and sometimes I'm going to be worried, you know. But if I work every day, as the big book says, to try to be spiritually fit, and for me that means that I start the day with a spiritual practice. I have to start a day with a spiritual practice because most of the time, the moment my eyes open, I'm in fear. Most of my eyes open and the panic starts to hit me of all the things I have to do and all the things that I'm worried are going to have to be done. If I do this practice, which in my case is writing and reading literature and writing on the literature and then doing the prayers from page 86 of the big book, I do all of, and then I have a bunch of affirmations that I read. It's like a whole hour long thing that I do just to get to zero, just to get to normal. So I can start the day, you know, but that's to me, that's working step one. In fact, in the morning, I can honestly say that I work step one, two, and three every morning when I do this practice, because one, I'm admitting that I'm powerless and I have to do this practice. Step two is like me saying there is a power perhaps that I can take care, that I can turn this over to. And three, I am praying and turning over these things to a power greater than myself. I'm also acknowledging on a daily basis my character defects and asking God humbly to remove them on God, in God's time. I call my sponsor, and turn over an inventory. That's step 10. The prayer, as I said before, is step 11, and step 12 is something like what I'm doing now. I'm trying to be of service and pass on the message of this thing. So, if I do that, I'll wrap up and say, if I do that and I do my, and I do something to do, make myself as spiritually fit as possible, then I get a reprieve for a single day. And, that to me is something that, I've been able to use first fearfully and now excitedly and proudly. So, I've so far, I have survived 100% of these bad days so far. So hopefully it'll continue. I hope I said something that was useful. Thanks for letting me share.